So once more, welcome to our special Hunter service here at Christ Lutheran. Now, I think when we're talking about hunting, we want to first understand why people do such a thing. We read in Genesis chapter 1 that God gave man dominion to rule over the earth. Now that one is just a fancy biblical word to say that they have stewardship or authority to take care of what God has given us. Not to rule over it, to abuse, as we would think, as the word dominion states. So what is it exactly that is so appealing to people in our world to enjoy what we call nature or creation? Or what is it that is so special about the outside world that we would see guys go and dress up in orange, sit out in the cold for hours all day, and try to shoot an animal? Why do people do such a thing? What do you think? How about you, Steve? Why would you? I know you're being a hunter. Why? What is it that you get out of maybe being outside or hunting?
Well, it's partly to actually manage them correctly.
To manage them correctly.
If they go like kind of untouched, depending on where it is, they could either be too many or too few of them to properly sustain themselves.
That is an excellent reason. If there weren't hunters or people managing all wildlife, our Department of Transportation certainly wouldn't like there being so many accidents for roadkill. It's a venture that sustains our communities, actually. Imagine the funds and the revenue produced by the Department of Natural Resources alone from not only citations, but also from all the good things of people applying for tags and harvest permits, let alone the safety that we have, that we don't have deer constantly running on our highways. They keep the rest of our world safe from diseases. When there's too many animals, there's problems, just like there's too many of anything. Now, there is this big fancy word that I'm kind of leading you on the wall here. This word, peace. That was one of the first things that come to my mind when people decide to go out hunting. But not even that, even more than that, why some people enjoy vacationing, or why do people enjoy being outside? I think it has to do with this word, peace. Now, I asked you at the beginning of the service to contemplate what that word really means. Now, I'm going to open that up to you all again. What are some answers? What comes to mind immediately when you think or hear of peace?
No stress.
No stress, thank goodness.
Like comfort.
Peace and quiet.
Quiet. Peace and quiet are always put together. Yeah.
And enjoying nature.
Enjoyment, quietness,
sport.
Comfort, sport.
Appreciation.
See, this word peace is very, very loaded. And sometimes during the year we'll think of peace as being sometimes a vacation away from stress. Sometimes we get caught up in a busy world. We need a way to get out. For a lot of hunters, a lot of men and women alike, this is the time of the year that they just want to get out into the woods away from noise and the stresses of their families or jobs. Some guys just use hunting as an excuse to do this. They don't even care about an animal. Comfort kind of goes along with the stress. Sometimes I think people choose to partake in outdoor events as a way of making themselves feel whole or bringing some sort of restoration to their being. There's something about us as creation. We were all made in the image of God. Man was created on the sixth day as part of creation. And I think because of that, we are in some mysterious way connected to all the other created things of God. We are born of God's likeness. And I think that's why we sometimes do a lot of good things. We like to create ourselves as people because we are like God in that respect. So I think that's why a lot of people like to be outside and maybe do things like hunting. It goes back to this word peace. Now, sometimes we misuse this word. Sometimes we think about all like the hippie movement of the 60s, maybe, when throwing around peace signs and go way too far. Sometimes peace means it's entirely about my own ideas of what comfort are, whatever makes me happy, indulging whatever I feel like doing. I think then we get a little bit too far. So let's continue thinking about this word peace. For a lot of us, I think it's kind of like this image, this wilderness experience. Sometimes even separating us from people. We were born to be in fellowship with people, but sometimes it is good to be away from people at some point, to rest. I don't know about you, but just looking at this picture, I have no idea where this is, but I would like to be there. It's beautiful. Plants don't yell at you. Plants don't demand you to work, to report for duty. The sun doesn't make up excuses for what it does. It's a comforting release, this peaceful aspect of God's creation. And I think it's important why we enjoy that, especially this time of the year. So it might be like that. Some people even go a little bit farther, like I said, with the word peace. Sometimes people think, nature is my church. Now we're going somewhere. Sometimes we enjoy God's good gifts, like hunting or being outside or vacationing into a beautiful terrain. And we take it a little too far. Sometimes we feel so connected to God's creation that we forget about God. All of a sudden, we worship our creation instead of our creator. And then we can begin to start thinking this idea that nature is my church. Certainly feels like it's in the cathedral of creation. One guy that's pretty famous here in Wisconsin said the same thing around the same lines. The architect Frank Lloyd Wright said, "I believe in God, only I spell it nature." I believe in God, only I spell it nature. That's very interesting. He's partially right, but I think he's backwards, if you think about it. You see, when we are out in the wild, or aside from our normal life as people, if you ever experienced, I don't know, that same feeling when you're out in the middle of a quiet woods or a beautiful prairie or mountain scene, sometimes it does feel like a spiritual moment that we are connected to God in some way. And that might lead us to believe this, that God is spelled nature. But I think there is a reason why that is. Because it was made by God. The things that are made by God ultimately reveal about who God is and lead us back to God. It's not that God leads us to nature, but nature, God's creation, leads us back to Him. And I think that's what's so special about hunters, people being outside, enjoying the beauty of the world, is that it in itself isn't the end goal, that we should just simply relax upon the world, but think of where it came from. It's really leading us back to God. We don't worship the creation, we worship the Creator. So it's interesting that this man here said that. Which brings me to my next point. There's another famous man, not in our world in Wisconsin, but in our Christian world. St. Augustine, one of the great leaders of the early, early church, said this very famous quote, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord. You have made us for yourself. And our heart is restless until it rests in you." Now think about those words. You have made us for yourself, O Lord. Whether you go decide to be outside this weekend or maybe sometime even vacationing, maybe you're sitting in a church service hearing God's words. Think of this phrase. You have made us for yourself, O Lord. Ultimately, that's the purpose of life. Now, I don't claim to know all the answers or that greatest question in the world, what is the purpose of life, but I think it's pretty close to that. God has made us for himself. Our purpose here on earth is to simply give God glory as his creation. One of the ways that we do that, like some hunters do, is simply to enjoy what God has done, what God has made. Because ultimately, we are a creation of God. Just like whenever you make something special, whether it's a craft project or you give birth to a child, you love that aspect. And that aspect of what you created gives you glory when you see it. That's how God looks at you. Think of how beautiful we look at the world. That's how much God looks at you. God finds his enjoyment when you do the things that you do and give him glory. So that's the first part. You've made us for yourself, O Lord. And our heart is restless until it rests in you. Like we had an example, our lives get pretty stressful. When we're young and when we're old. And sometimes we don't have a lot of comfort. We have a lot of problems that come up. A lot of things that plague our minds. We have issues with family. We have issues with our work. We have issues with our bodies. And sometimes we get restless. And we don't know what we're doing here. And ultimately that restlessness, it might lead us into the wild, into some peace and quiet. But ultimately, I think God created that restlessness because, again, it points us back to him. Our hearts will always be restless until we find that true peace with God, our Creator. One of those ways in which we are reminded about that is when we experience a little bit of that peace in the world that he created. Our hearts will be restless until they rest in him. So I encourage you to do whatever you can to rest in God, to find that rest in God, whether it starts outside or at home or here at church. You've made us for yourself. That leads us back to the very first thing we began our service with. These same words from Psalm 42. To my knowledge, this is probably one of the few times that the Bible actually talks about deer, which I think is kind of neat. But Psalm 42 says this, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God." Just as essential as something like water is to a living being, that's how much we desire, we are urged back to God. He is that essential ingredient to our lives. Even more than that, he is essentially our lives. And we can pant for whatever that we try to fulfill our lives with, whether it be great home cooking, whether it be from enjoying music, whether it be from enjoying sports, whether it be from going out bagging a humongous deer, whatever it is, we're going to still be wanting. We're going to be searching for something more, whether it's more money, more power, more fame, more whatever, until we sit back and enjoy God. Not just out in the world, but in you. Because as Christians, as baptized children of God, God is as near and dear to you as if He is a living organ beating within you. Every breath you take is the breath of God. And until we realize that, we're going to still be panting for something until we find that out, that God is still with us. As the deer pants for streams of water, so our souls pant for Him. And that ultimately is the theme for today, that the more we see the heart of God in His Son, that's when we actually can enjoy even more what God has done and made. Once we see the love and beauty and peace that God brings, that's when we get to see God at really work in creation. That's when things start popping. Colors become brighter. Sounds become crisper and more beautiful. The more we know that God is the one behind it. And that's an amazing feeling. And I think that's what some people get a little taste of when they go outside. Think of this. The more you see the heart of God in His Son Jesus, that's when you get to see the face of God in the rest of this world. And that's the way God intended it. Not the backwards way around. And that leads me once more to this final saying. We talked about peace. And I can't think of a better way to be reminded about peace when we hear these words of Jesus in John chapter 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. I think that's the peace that we're after. The peace of God which surpasses all our understanding. And may it guard your hearts and minds into the one true day of our Lord Jesus. Amen.